Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, October 7, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact, Daily Record 79 New Cases, 10.5% 7-day positivity rate, 8 hospitalized in Vermilion County. 3 days after setting a single-day high with 44 new cases, Vermilion County topped it by 35. The county of 75,758 reported 79 new cases Tuesday, as its 7-day positivity rate climbed from 9.6% to 10.5%. While Champaign County hospitalizations dropped from 6 to 2, Vermilion reported 8 Tuesday. Its new positive tests ranged in age from an infant, a toddler, and 4 preschoolers to a resident in their 90s. 7-day positivity rates remained unchanged and low in both Champaign County, 0.6%, and on the U of I campus, 0.3%. Active county cases were down by 11 to 364, while recovered cases rose to 4,651. 82% of the county's active cases are in Champaign Urbana zip codes, 61820 Champaign, 186, down 20. 61801 Urbana, 41, up 2. 61821 Champaign, 33, down 2. 61822 Champaign, 27, up 9. 61802 Urbana, 11, up 1. Get a flu shot ASAP, advises Illinois Department of Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. There is the potential that people could become co-infected with both flu and COVID-19. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. U of I Homecoming, A Tradition Like No Other by Jeff D'Alessio, Urbana. Technically, next month will mark the 110th homecoming celebration at the University of Illinois. But for the school that lays claim to being among the first to invent the fall tradition, this year's version will be unlike any other. Out, the October date, parade, alumni bar crawls, and Big Ten football from the Memorial Stadium stands. In, virtual everything, from the international talent show to the performances by marching Illini, present and past, to trivia contests during the group watch of the December 5 Iowa-Illinois game from the comforts of alums' own couches. Only the theme remains the same, stronger together in orange and blue, for the pandemic-postponed event, stretching from one weekend into a full week, November 29 to December 5. A lot of schools are attempting virtual homecomings, but I think, once again, Illinois will lead the pack when it comes time to execution, U of I Alumni Association President Jennifer Dillavo said Tuesday. There's no shortage of creativity and passion. Recruited to help with the creative parts, 1996 U of I alumna Melissa Skoog Duncan, Preda's former vice president of marketing. Recreational cannabis. Tolono turns to ballot for input on pot sales. By Ben Zichterman, Tolono. Tolono is seeking feedback on whether cannabis sales should be allowed in the village. An advisory referendum was placed on the November 3 ballot after a couple of local business owners approached the village board to ask about opening a dispensary, Village President Rob Murphy said. The ballot question reads, shall the village of Tolono allow a recreational cannabis dispensary within the village limits? Tolono has already passed a 3% tax on cannabis sales in case a dispensary ever opens, but Murphy said it didn't receive the feedback it wanted on the larger question of whether to allow sales in the first place. We went ahead and passed the tax, but then we had several meetings discussing it, and we couldn't get a lot of input, Murphy told the News Gazette. So we decided to take it out to a referendum. When the village board previously discussed cannabis sales in 2019 and earlier this year, Murphy said there was one church group that is kind of against it, and we had some local business owners that showed up. We know there's more people out there that have an opinion, Murphy said. Murphy said he's undecided on the issue. We could use the tax dollars, but I said. Coronavirus response. Urbana pushes back hybrid learning until next semester. By Ben Zichterman, Urbana. After teachers and parents spoke overwhelmingly against a proposed hybrid learning plan for the second quarter, Urbana Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum said the district wouldn't pursue it until next semester. Instead, Ivory Tatum said at Tuesday's school board meeting that an emergency ruling from the Illinois State Board of Education will allow the district to use unlicensed professionals to help students struggling with remote learning. We're now able to use TAs and support staff to assist and supervise students in the school, learning from a remote teacher, provided there is a licensed staff member in the building designated as their supervisor, Ivory Tatum said. She said the district would be working with elementary school administrators to identify students who aren't engaging well with remote learning to offer them an in-person component. I know we didn't hear from very many of those families in our public statements, but I hear from them quite often. Parents who are begging us to bring our kids back to school, she said. The in-person component may include working in the learning labs for K-3 students, Ivory Tatum said, but it will also mean maybe being in some classrooms for students that might need one-on-one. And for K-2, this may mean working in a small group in a classroom setting with a trusted adult. Ivory Tatum said administrators are still developing plans to return to full hybrid learning in January. Board member John Dimmitt expressed concerns about delaying in-person learning further. It troubles me that we're backing off in-person attendance when these truancy rates are way beyond what we've experienced in the past, he said. It tells me that no matter what we do, and as hard as we try to make remote learning effective, that is not as effective as in-person learning. The board has been planning to discuss two hybrid options for the second quarter, both of which would have involved in-person learning from 8:30 to 11 a.m. every day but Wednesday for students in grades K through 5 who choose that option. Deranged, she said. Active cases in the county, for instance, are slightly higher. February police chase, probation for having stolen car, by Mary Schenck, Urbana. A Champaign man who admitted he possessed a stolen vehicle earlier this year was sentenced Monday to 3 years of probation. Judge Randy Rosenbaum imposed the sentence on Devlin Miles, 20, whose last known address was in the 1400 block of King's Way. Miles pleaded guilty in August to possession of a stolen vehicle. In return, other charges of possession of a stolen gun and not having a valid firearm owner's identification card were dismissed. The charges stemmed from a chase that started about 5 p.m. February 18 in Vermilion County, where deputies were trying to stop a stolen vehicle. The pursuit moved west into Champaign County, where a deputy got the car stopped and discovered Miles was driving. The car had been reported stolen. Co-defendant Vian Hunt, 18, of Urbana, who was the passenger in the car, admitted the gun was his and was sentenced in August to 5 years in prison. Miles was also sentenced to spend 231 days in jail, but was given credit for time served. Rosenbaum ordered him to get substance abuse and mental health evaluations. At an earlier hearing, a prosecutor said Miles had prior juvenile adjudications for residential burglary, possession of a stolen vehicle, mob action, and criminal trespass. From the Our County section, kids doing good things, Oakwood students making best of homecoming situation, by Ben Sichterman, Oakwood. Homecoming week is looking a little different this year at Oakwood High School. With the parade canceled, students are donating the money they usually spend on floats. Each class plans to give $500 to a local charity. The Survivor Resource Center in Danville, Citizens Animal Rescue and Adoption in Tilton, Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System in Danville, and Vermilion County Court-Appointed Special Advocates. We always want the floats. We're always big on the parade. But this year we can't do it, said Lynn Anderson, a part-time health teacher and junior class advisor. Someone suggested donating the funds that would usually go to the floats, and it was received well by all, Anderson said. Each class usually spends anywhere from $500 to $1,000 on its float, and there was still some money left over from spring when prom was canceled, Anderson said. So we have the money, she said. The four organizations will be presented with checks Wednesday on the football field, followed by Comet Fest, where the classes will play various games. With the COVID-19 pandemic and a hybrid schedule of in-person and remote classes, you've got to think outside the box and try to make things work, Anderson said. The floats were huge with bonding. Float building is just a great experience to start off the year and really get the kids together, so not having it is a big change, she said. But it makes the rest of us try to work towards something that hopefully the kids will get into. In addition to today's Comet Fest, each day this week has a different dress-up theme, and instead of a football game Friday, there will be an outdoor carnival night. Probably the seniors are hurt the most, Anderson said. They understand, but it's just tough. We're making the best of the situation. Bird's Eye View, Gifford. Gifford State Bank has a history of helping out the village that it serves, from financing the installation of new sidewalks, streetlights, and flower baskets along recently repaved Main Street. Its latest project, donating land for a parking lot across the street from Werner Ressler Park on the south end of town, which hosts youth baseball and softball games. The bank bought what was an empty lot and deeded it to the village, which is in the process of preparing it in time for the 2021 seasons. It will have room for about 30 vehicles. It's about community pride, Bank President Tony McLean said. Quite frankly, there is nothing more disappointing when I drive into some of these small communities and there's no life to them. It's important that we give back to make sure that doesn't happen here. Gifford's rebound from a tornado that flattened much of it in 2013 is easy to see. Near downtown sits a four-year-old park, complete with a gazebo, rock garden, and curvy walkways that bend out to the street. It's got sidewalks that swirl around, kind of like a tornado type of thing, I guess, said Neil Baker, who maintains the two parks in town. People walk through it, they sit on benches, they visit, things like that. The park sits in the middle of a swath of new houses and small buildings that cover the area that was wiped out on November 17, 2013. Trees planted shortly afterwards are now beginning to mature. On the new park's lot used to sit a house which was destroyed in the storm and sold to the Tornado Relief Committee, Baker said. 3 years later, it became a centerpiece of town. What was a harrowing day became a long-term boon. It's been really, really good, said Baker, whose home was destroyed that day. People have rebuilt. I don't think anyone got hurt or killed, so we were very fortunate for a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Now the village, population 1,085, is back to being its quiet self, which is one of the reasons Baker loves living there, and why residents rarely leave, he said. This is a great town to live in, I'm telling you, Baker said. That article by Anthony Zillett. February 3 incident. Champaign man charged in fatal shooting, by Mary Shank Urbana. A 34-year-old man remains jailed in lieu of $2 million bond after being charged in the shooting death of a Champaign man. Dondre Miller of Champaign was arrested Tuesday morning in the 1100 block of North James Street by U.S. Marshals and arraigned in the afternoon on three counts of first-degree murder in the February 3 shooting death of Galand Allen Davis. Mr. Allen Davis, 33, was found shot in his car in the 1300 block of Mariner Way at 2:49 a.m. that day. He died about 3 hours later at Carle Foundation Hospital. Champaign police said Mr. Allen Davis was inside the car when the shooter approached, fired, then drove off. State's attorney Julia Reitz said a witness identified Miller as the shooter. Judge Adam Dill advised Miller that he faces 45 to 85 years behind bars if convicted. The extended penalty applies because the charges allege that Miller personally fired the gun that killed Mr. Allen Davis. Miller told the judge he needed time to hire an attorney and was told to return to court October 15. Reed said Miller was also wanted on charges of aggravated fleeing and driving with a revoked license case, for which he failed to appear in court February 19. She said he had prior convictions for possession with intent to deliver cannabis, possession of controlled substance, driving under the influence, forgery, and obstructing justice dating to 2007. U.S. Marshals were assisted in arresting Miller by the Champaign County Street Crimes Task Force. A warrant had been issued for Miller the day of the fatal shooting. Jay Simpson, Jay's Take, an Illini fan for life, literally. Born and raised in Champaign, I take pride in being a fan of my hometown school. I always told myself that would never change, no matter the college I chose to attend. Seeing the attention Dee Brown and those guys got from the community was crazy. They were like rock stars, and us younger kids wanted to be just like them. Those were the days my love for Illini basketball started. I wanted to go to Illinois and have the same effect Dee had on not only the town, but was the role they envisioned me playing. And I was sold from that point. I committed on the spot. Attending Purdue, however, never stopped my love for the Illini, unless we were playing against them. I still watched and cheered for them whenever they played and wanted them to beat every team but us. My teammates gave me grief in a very good team with big-time guys returning in Kofi Cockburn and Ayo Dosunmu. They are predicted to do some big things, but my boiler makers are ready for the challenge. I can't wait. From the Illini Insider section, Weekly Planner, 3 Mark Your Calendar virtual events with Illini connections coming to a computer. The 5 p.m. discussion, viewable via the event's Facebook page, will be moderated by Ebertfest co-founder Chaz Ebert and director Nate Cohn. The all-star lineup of panelists includes directors Melissa Hazlip, Malcolm Lee, Mary Mazzio, and Christine Swanson. Industry executives Michael Barker, Sony Pictures Classics, and Neil Block, Magnolia Pictures. SAG Indie Executive Director Darian Michelle Gibson, and entertainment lawyer Nina Shaw. Friday, on campus around this time for virtually, the Chicago-based chef, Chief Engagement Officer for the Obama Foundation, who holds U of I degrees from both the College of Media and College of Law, has been booked for the keynote speech at the NAACP of Champaign County's annual Freedom Fund celebration, set for 6 p.m. Friday on Zoom. Monday, joining Robert Jones for the first installment of A Great Conversation, a new live-streamed series of chats between the chancellor and a lineup of prominent guests, will be Freeman Hrabowski, president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Considered one of higher ed's most innovative administrators, Hrabowski earned 2 diplomas from the U of I, a master's in math and a PhD in education, to go with an honorary degree and a Distinguished Alumni Award from the College of Education. One of 2,076 Illini profiled on our G's College of Business powered U of I at 150 and Beyond website, Hrabowski will speak about the Empowered University, Shared Leadership in Challenging Times, exploring how university communities can support academic success by cultivating an empowering institutional culture. History, area history. In 1920, physical examinations for women at the University of Illinois were completed. A total of 706 women, 467 of whom were freshmen, were examined under the direction of Dr. Gertrude Moulton, assisted by 4 outside physicians. Overall, the examinations found that the women had poorly developed muscles, a condition that could be overcome with persistent exercise. In 1970, the Broadway Avenue Bridge over the Saline Creek was again open to 2-way traffic. In September, the City Council voted to limit traffic to 1-way across the bridge. This came after a head-on collision on the 1-lane bridge. In 2005, Christie Clinic said it planned to break ground the next month on a cancer treatment center in Top of the morning, soldiers living and to those who have fallen. Travis Pittman, 29, sure was grateful. The son of Staley Concrete manager Leonard Pittman. Travis is an Army veteran whose return after 4 years of duty played out on the front page of the News Gazette in 2014. Today, he's working alongside Dad at Staley, has a flag outside his Monticello residence. That Staley Concrete pays such close attention to Old Glory, means the world to him and his son, he said. Many Staley Concrete work shirts have flags on the sleeves, and Kenny is considering adding decals to the family-owned company's 20 trucks, too. America is in turmoil right now, Kenny said, but we're still very proud of our country. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, October 7, 2020. Please stay tuned.